Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, hello. I am the one and only Dr. Shawande Mustakeem, and I am coming on to motivate us all. So happy Motivation Monday. And the way that I'm motivating, coming from my many worlds, but more importantly from the world of the mind and intellect and the future of empowerment, at least by way of history and herstory. Yours truly is sharing once again, what are you teaching? What courses, what books, and what else in between are you looking forward to in between? What are you looking forward to in between the unexpected moments, in between centuries, in between time, and in between ever-changing worlds that we find ourselves? So again, I am Dr. Mustakeem coming on to invite you all into the world of what I'm going to be creating for my many students this fall. And I will say from the outset that it's going to be all about crime and policing, but more importantly, the meanings of crime and criminality and just how these carceral worlds can be read with people, men and women at the center. Now, let me give you a little context. Where are we going? How is it going? What is it coming from? What's the newness? And where is perhaps where are we building on the relics? So I'll go with the, quote, oldest course first. So what that means is 10 years ago, I created the first crime class within our history department at Washington University, where I am in St. Louis. And that course entitled Mapping the World of, quote, Black Criminality. Yes. Again, mapping the world of black criminality, but again, sort of quoting black criminality to really push back against what is black criminality, what is crime. And it really, at that time, this is 2012, I was inspired in the murder of Trayvon Martin, and I began to think about policing both as police, but also community policing of blackness and black people, but also looking at these varying notions of how blackness can be read as unruly, just by skin color, oftentimes by mere presence in other ways. So in fact, 10 years ago, the course description opened up saying this: ideas concerning the evolution of violence, crime, and criminal behavior have been framed around many different groups. Yet what does a typical criminal look like? How does race, more specifically blackness, alter these conversations and perhaps inscribe greater fears about criminal behaviors? So again, 10 years ago, I was asking different questions and obviously then developing new classes. So I've been at my university for 15 years. And this fall, while I'm teaching a, quote, old course, the other course that I am, in fact, piloting for the first time, now 10 years later, I'm asking a whole other set of questions. That class is called Women in Crime and the Evolution of American History. And I'll share with you as well, what is it? How did you open up and why is this class busting at the seams? Because let me tell you, apparently crime, sadly, well, it's where it's at. But that means that we have a future of students who are very, very interested in these conversations. So I open up in the course description again for this piloted course, Women in Crime and the Evolution of American History, asking and saying, crime happens. Property is damaged and stolen, lives are lost, and law and order and justice prevail. This course taps into that ongoing reality by centering the historical evolution of female crime, highlighting women and girls of many kinds across time and spaces of America. Between time, between centuries, do you see the parallels between both courses? And what's interesting is that I'm able to have an axis from the Department of History and then an axis from the Department of Black Studies, where I am in both departments jointly appointed as an associate professor. And again, I'll tell you, I've developed 10 courses, maybe a little bit more, losing count. But these two, they're important right now for many reasons. And I want you to hear the books that I am assigning so that way you can be empowered. Now, I wish I could say that everyone would be able to have an ear in on the class, but we know hey, only certain people are going to be interested in certain things. So that means I have a high number of eager students in both classes who are looking forward to going deep with Mustakeem. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we look at how do we move the needle on these conversations, or where and how am I? I will start with the mapping of mapping the world of, quote, black criminality course. Got five books, both classes. Woo, yours truly is going to be going deep. Gotta, whatever I assign, I too have to read. But imagine, in 1 year, I've read like at least 500 or 600 books in order to get where I am. So we'll take five, no problem. We're here to empower. That's what I do. Those who know me, that's what I'm always invoking to remind us. That's why I am on right now. In the middle of, yes, it's still summer, and I'm trying to keep you motivated on this Motivation Monday. So, all right, here we go. So the five course books that I'm assigning in mapping the world of quote-unquote black criminality. The first book is Dorothy Roberts, Torn Apart, How the Child Welfare System Destroys Black Families and How Abolition Can Build a Safer World. We are standing at the weaponizing of so much. So many systems, and so much shifting as the battles over education, over the womb, and many, many more are taking form. So I thought, let's keep the students in the know. This is a new book that just came out. We're also going to go to that classic book, Toni Morrison, Beloved. We need to look at why all of a sudden people don't know the story of Margaret Garner, but then yet the how dare the story be remembered, and then looking at the policing of education in the remembrance sort of narrative. Those who know the story of Beloved, there's so much more. And we're going to go deep to really think about, wow, Toni Morrison being on the other side, but look at how the battles are raging. The next book, yeah, award-winning, we're going to be looking at Winifred Rembrandt's book, Chasing Me to My Grave. An artist's memoir of the Jim Crow South. It is so much about blackness, it is so much about policing, and it is so much about transformation, resiliency, and then also centering like the memory of blackness over time in one's mind and the movement in and out of many spaces. So it's a really beautiful and hauntingly beautiful book that we're, and my students, that we're going to be reading. And the fourth book is also going to be equally as interesting, Assata Shakur, Assata, an autobiography. For those who know, the story should never die. It should never be forgotten. And from time to time, I like to teach the book to see what students know, what we don't know about the 1970s, and beginning to think about who and what falls into our lexicon of memory, into our conversation of who we remember, how we remember activism, and more importantly, now decades later, where does Assata Shakur fit into our minds? The fifth book is by Centoya Brown, Free Centoya, My Search for Redemption in the American Prison System. So many students are interested in prison abolition. So many students are interested in getting rid of prisons for the future that shouldn't we listen to someone who has been within the actual carceral belly, someone who has forcibly, through choices that were made, found herself in the prison system, but then now to think about how can we be inspired to build a better future? What can we learn? So again, you see, we're trying to move the needle in some very interesting ways. Again, so those books are connected with mapping the world of quote unquote black criminality. Now, drum roll, Women in Crime and the Evolution of American History says so much, says so little, and yet at the same time, it feels good to be piloting the first ever Women in Crime course connected with the historical past. What has been interesting is to see how people assume that this class must be sociology because they're the only ones who do crime. No, no, no. History and crime go hand in hand. And then what happens when we put women and girls a part of that conversation, and what types of new evolutions of history and herstory do we see come forth? So these are the types of, I mean, that was quite broad, but there's even more broad questions that I'm going to invite a myriad of students. There's so many students so excited about this class, and I am excited. And where we're going to go is just so many exciting possibilities, and I'm also learning even before we even get to the classroom, you know, why students are interested in the class, what are they drawn to? But more importantly, I was able to tell them the same thing that I'm telling you. Here are the books. 5 books, again, just like the other class. So, again, within Women in Crime and the Evolution of American History, again, I want you to go out, look for these gems. They are important books. And by knowing, then you can be a part of the conversation of how much do we know? It isn't quite why don't we know. It is why are we not empowering ourselves right now? So here's an opportunity to do so. So the first book is by LaShawn Harris, and it's called Sex Workers, Psychics, and Number Runners, Black Women in New York City's Underground Economy. One of a kind, and it really hits many categories that students are interested in a variety of ways. It's beautiful. Tells us a whole other edge of New York that I'm really excited about introducing students to. Next, we have Callie Gross, Colored Amazons, Crime, Violence, and Black Women in the City of Brotherly Love, 1880 to 1910. Oh, the first of a kind when it came out, still the most important, seminal, classic in every way text that students need to know about Philadelphia and its connection to Black women, the criminalizing of Black women within the press, but then also looking at the crimes that are committed. I mean, we get so much. It's fascinating, the different questions that are raised and also the different women that are represented in some really exciting ways, and again, Black women. So, Ann Butler, next, third book, Gender Justice in the American West, Women Prisoners in Men's Penitentiaries. What I appreciate about this book is that it will allow me to talk about both Black and white women that were moved into, again, these penitentiaries that are not East Coast, that are not quote-unquote North, and they're not quote-unquote South. So that's the other part of the class that we're going to be learning and really pushing back. What is American history? And how is it told? How is it often framed? And perhaps maybe where has the scholarship thus begin to tell the bigger story? So the next book that I want to highlight is Cheryl Hicks, Talk With You Like a Woman, African-American Women, Justice and Reform in New York, 1890 to 1935. This is a whole other contour to the conversation about the movement of women in and out of carceral spaces, but really thinking about the rise of reformatories and thinking about justice advocated for African-American women, yes, in New York, but it is also another part of New York that I do not see represented in other ways that can really advance, or at least just sort of where I want to go. I see it with Professor Hicks' book, and that's where we're definitely going to use the book to begin to think about how do we put these books and then another book by Larry Wood, Murder and Mayhem in Missouri. We're going to put all of these books into conversation in order to really think about what is out there, what's the scholarship, what have we learned, who are the types of people that are represented in the scholarship that's being produced, and then where is it wide open to ask new questions? Because I think, you know, we need to know about all the corners of American history. Hey, Montana, hey, you know, Arizona, hey, why not Mississippi? Let's get down with South Carolina. We know that women definitely get down up there in Indiana. Crime happens. Crime is detonated by women and girls in the most expected and the unexpected places. And this, in these books, my students, and through this course, my students will be able to begin to explore that, because I do want us to think about who are the icons, what do we know, what are we taught. This isn't just like some, oh, you know, lecture based, yeah, let's all get down with American history and some American lectures. No, this is going to be more a deeper engagement, new questions to say, where are the women and the girls? Where have we put them at the center of the shifting needle that is happening in the evolution of American time that then will define what crime is when done by or at the hands of a woman or a girl? So we're going to be moving in some really exciting and interesting ways. And again, I've mentioned the books, but there are also many other star historians that I'm going to integrate into the conversation. I just, over time, have really learned we can have a certain amount of books, and then we can also have the articles. But this semester will be an invitation to also think about what is an archive. Where is an archive? Google is not it. If it was, then why have we uncovered even more that I'm actually grateful it's not on Google? We need things online. We need things offline. However, the other part of my new approach, can't make any promises, but my new approach in a whole other way is to activate skill sets, to get students to see what they're good at and to delve even more into that, turn it all the way up. How do we also empower as we learn? Because for so long, it's just consumption without ever giving back. So you never know what may come on these airwaves and even more, but also just in the spirit of empowerment. I have always been invested in that in my classes. 10 years ago when I piloted Mapping the World of quote-unquote Black Criminality, what I did at that time, I had the nerve to assign 8 books, and the students put on a community program that began to ask new questions about where are we. At that time, we were reading Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow, but they had put on the largest ever student-run community-based program that was called The Criminal Brand, America's Invisible Class, and we had invited a whole set of different people who had once been formerly incarcerated, those who were lawyers of many kind, judges, and we also invited the community to be a part of those conversations and to think about where are we going and where are we. Wow. If we could have recorded what came out then 10 years ago, it will be very interesting to see what predictions were right or maybe some things that we didn't see coming. But in both classes, I'm trying to catch up with where I am and where I'm going and where I'm seeing the world and all its evolutions and the need for new questions. But it is also keeping students informed, powered, so that it's not just relying on Instagram and Twitter to say, hey, someone put up a picture, and this is history. Come on, let's get some credibility going on, adding to the conversation. But more importantly, I'm just excited because now I can assign even more of who I have tried to get students to think about for years, to think about even where I'm going with my future work, thinking about what is freedom, thinking also about how far people go, whatever that may be, in the name of some, you know, what is crime? How does that change over time? What does it look like generationally in all of its differences? And more importantly, what role does pop culture have in the telling of a nation and its history? So the pop culture, I think those who know me, always will be a part of whatever that I do, because as I am working diligently to empower the future, Netflix, Hulu, Roku, Tubi, all of them have the full attention of the future more than I or any other educator could. And yet, now it is about being in conversation in those ways. So, again, who knows what's going to come from all of this? I mean, I'm excited because there's just so many possibilities, and the whole cool thing is that by me informing you all, and that means you might tune in to what comes from the class, what types of conversations, what type of assignments, how are the students processing this? What can we do with it? How can we really train a future? And what are y'all talking about? That's where I am moving and will continue to move the needle, and that is why I showed up today to motivate you and you and you and all of us to stay on it. Stay on what you're excited about. I love empowering. I love teaching and educating and being able to do so in a college environment, but yet thinking within and beyond the traditional confines of classrooms allows me to think about you all as well as the students who are so excited. I mean, I sent out a course survey for both classes, and I'm getting it back, and it's helping me to know who is showing up, and more importantly, what are they excited about learning, what aspect, maybe even what books. But the enthusiasm is there all around. And for me, this is truly going to be unprecedented to be able to teach a class of many and, more importantly, new students offline, in person, as we begin to all come together and think about, again, women and crime in the evolution of American history, but also thinking about the social history of crime and policing within the evolution of Black history and Blackness. And yet, what do those worlds look like when we look closely at systems that then perpetuate the generational, oh, I didn't realize. So now what we're going to do, we're going to go deep. We're going to go into what does it mean and how is the world projecting it in 2022? I ask all the students, what does it mean and why should we care about crime in 2022? I think we know that from the president to the mayors to the governors all over this country, that crime has taken a center hold, that maybe it is important for our students to begin to learn how to trace it, how to really study the patterns, and more importantly, how to talk about the past that is laced with crime and violence and law and order. We got to begin to think about how does that change, how is the state made, how are systems made, how are nations made off of crime? What does that look like? So all of these new questions I am really, really, really excited about, and I hope you can hear it and feel it through me. Again, just coming on for Motivation Monday, doing something a little bit different because, again, as I always say, I am the one and only Dr. Shawande Muskeem, and everything that I do, I really am coming from a place of looking to activate originality around higher ideas of learning. So that way we don't just get stuck with the monotony of the scroll and then never stop to go deep and to think deeper where and who and yet who is excluded, who is still excluded. If this is the first time a course like this has been offered, or both of these as, quote, old and then yet new in 2022, we have a long way to go. So we will see what the future holds in all these conversations. But again, I can't emphasize it enough. All need to continue learning and empowering and really teaching ourselves what we say. Well, I never learned about that in school. Guess what? There are a lot of people who are not in school and they're still empowering themselves and going deeper to really be in line with where are the intellects moving the needle of conversation. We all need to be in conversation together. And again, that is why I am on right now, to let you know what am I teaching, what classes, what books, and more importantly, like, how am I hoping to move the needle? In moving the needle, it is saying new conversations are all around us, new possibilities for truly making tangible a better world. But it can't come without talking about it and then being able to say concretely, what did the world look like then? What does it look like now? And how can that look in the future? So that just gives rise to so much about technology, also preservation of the past, and then yet right at the center, politically, how does a world deal with crime? Because crime is what sort of just implodes all the time and politically makes people have to respond. You have to, and there's a surge crime. If there's, whatever that it may be, at different times, we've seen it play out. And my students will go deeper. And again, the long goal is for them to empower you as they are learning. So we shall see. But all right, I am the one and only Dr. Shawande Muskeem, and just coming on to keep you fully empowered on what is rolling with the Muskeem train this fall. There's going to be even more coming over this entire academic year and even more in the future to come. So all right, now I will talk to you soon. And of course, you all know that I will empower you soon. So all right, now take care. Bye-bye.